Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
It is indeed Bloomberg Markets. Corey Johnson here in our AM 960 studios out over the San Francisco Bay. Carol Masser back in our world headquarters in Midtown Manhattan.
Not over the San Francisco Bay.
No. Quite a ways from the San Francisco Bay or any bay.
Over some pricey real estate here on the east side. Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the run-ups that we've seen in the tech names and what's going on between small caps and big caps and while that might be about to change. So we'll talk markets for you in just a moment. Let's get back, though, to your top visitors. Let's see what's going on, too, in the trading session. Here is Charlie Pellett.
All right. Thank you very much, Carol Massa. Thank you, Corey Johnson. U.S. equities are mixed right now. The Dow and S&P lower. NASDAQ higher by 2 points. Little change there, up by less than 0.1%. NYMEX, July WTI crude futures settling at $48.19 a barrel. And we are brought to you by USCF. The numbers of the close of floor trading on the NYMEX, sponsored by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. S&P 500 index is declining 2 points, little change to 2434, a drop there of 0.1%. NASDAQ, as we mentioned, higher by 2 points. Dow Industrials down 20, a drop of 0.1%. So we've got caution reigning in a week that is loaded with events that could change the tone on financial markets. Everything from the ECB's policy decision to Britain's increasingly uncertain election. Day two of the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference in San Jose. Yesterday, Apple unveiled its HomePod voice controller, a smart speaker that understands music-related requests, a topic we were just discussing right here on Bloomberg Markets. Apple shares up 0.8%. Apple CEO Tim Cook spoke exclusively with Bloomberg Television, and he was asked, how long has the HomePod been in development?
Multiple years. And so the underlying technology in here is something to behold. And to get the experience that we wanted at the quality we wanted, you know, like Apple products in general take multiple years to do, starting from the core technology and then building up to the product.
And again, recapping, equities mixed. S&P lower now by 2 points at 2434, down 0.1%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Much appreciated. Charlie Pellett with a Bloomberg Business News Flash. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser, Corey Johnson, and this is Bloomberg.
It's all up to what you value.
Value in the markets, of course, that's what the name of the game is all about. But value is in the eye of the beholder, certainly. Steve Soka joins us right now from Wedbush with a look at kind of what you see in the market. Steve's glad that he's here in our AM 960 studios. Glad to see you.
Good to be here. Last week I ran a bunch of EQS screens on my Bloomberg. And you start looking at comparing what's been going on here. You've got growth, just your general growth ETFs up 14% year to date. Your value ETFs anywhere from up 1 to down 3, dividend funds down 4%, Netflix, Facebook, Tesla, Priceline, all up 30%+. So I'm kind of looking for the Amish trade here, I'm calling it.
The Amish trade.
I'm looking. I don't think technology is going to completely bankrupt every existing business in the United States. And so, I mean, I'm seeing mall REITs trading at 3x cash flow, yielding 14% with a 45% payout ratio.
It's pretty nice.
It's kind of compelling. But the theme here is
so what's the payout ratio?
45% of funds available for distribution, which is kind of what you base REITs on. FFO, AFFO.
And so they should be actually distributing a lot more of that with the notion that the dividend could go up.
The dividend could go up, and also if they take tenant goes bankrupt, there's room to keep that dividend in place even though you're losing cash flow.
Right.
That's the idea. And heavy insider buying on a lot of these names. Small caps underperformed. Value has dramatically underperformed over the last 5 months. I'm starting to put money to work in those names. Amish trade because it's not really a tech trade, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's kind of non-high tech, correct?
Right. Very much so. It's the guys that tech are putting out of business. The theory is these guys will all be bankrupt in 3 years because everyone's going to shop at Amazon and nobody's ever going to go into a store ever again.
Well, how do you think this movie ends? Or does it end? Like, in terms of what Amazon has disrupted in terms of retail and so on.
I think there's more growth in Amazon. I just don't think that the rate of growth is going to remain unchanged. I mean, on Wall Street, so often the chart is just going to maintain that same angle up. It just never happens. You know, it levels off at some point. It actually backtracks at some point. You know, at some point, Amazon might have a bad quarter. It's entirely possible at some point in our life.
Well, don't ask Corey. Corey may have thought that they've already had some bad quarters.
Well, I mean, you know, no, I'm absolutely impressed with Amazon in every way. But I agree with you. It doesn't mean people are going to stop going to stores. There will always be some survivors or some that are going to do well, you know. There are companies out there today that are reporting really strong retail sales, or retail sales of clothing in malls. There was a strong report today from G3. So we see that happening.
Yeah, and Macy's got destroyed today, down 7 or 8% because gross margins are going to come in 0.8%.
Yeah.
And in fact, the company said, and we're going to be able to make up for that with expense reductions, so we're keeping our earnings estimates, our earnings guidance is going to remain unchanged. Hair on fire selling, down 8%. So I think it's kind of getting into a crescendo here, and I think it's creating a lot of value in these names. You know, as typical for me, I'm looking for stuff like Macy's that pays a significant dividend. It yields almost 7% here today. I think, you know, you get paid to wait if you're a value investor, so there's a little wind at your back. But I just think that, you know, something's going to change here. Netflix will not be up another 30%. Well, maybe, but I don't think it's going to be up another 30% between now and December. And I think a lot of – you look in this wasteland of REITs and mall REITs and retailers.
I mean, it's hard to go against those momentum names. I mean, you know, you look at a fill-in-your-blank company. But if it wasn't worth 80, it's also not worth 100, and it could be not worth 120. You know?
Entirely. And I don't know how you value these things that are trading at 35, 40 times, you know, next year's earnings, not even trailing.
Well, can I ask you, Steve, do you stay away then from all things tech?
I don't see a lot of value in tech. Last time I was on, we talked about Seagate, and that continues to be somewhat of an inexpensive stock, you could argue. I don't own it anymore. I'm cleverly out 5 points lower. But, you know, I think there's this thesis on Wall Street right now that all of these new tech companies are putting everyone else out of business. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
And just really quickly, it sounds like what you're doing is you're using the ETFs as a screen, and then you're going within those to find values to pick individual stocks.
Correct. And you can create, you know, once again, with the EQS function, you can create all kinds of customizable screens to find what you're looking for. You know, put in payout ratio, put in, you know, multiples of cash flow. You know, you create kind of a little mini model, and it'll spit out 50 names, and then you can go through those and do some fundamental research. Yeah,
he's slapping the table with research reports and 10-Ks I've got on my desk here.
Steve, 10 seconds. Is there a recent stock you bought?
CBL as a REIT. Heavy exposure to JCPenney and Macy's and Sears.
Wow.
Trading at 3x cash flow, yielding 14% with a 49% payout ratio. Pretty cheap.
Interesting stuff. Steve Misalka, always good to see you.
Good to see you, Corey.
Bush, all right. With an interesting look at what's going on in the markets, there may be some opportunity. Let's get to Nancy Lyons right now, a look at what's happening in world and national news headlines. She's in our 99.1 studios in our nation's capital.
Thanks, Corey. Paris prosecutors say they have opened a counterterrorism investigation after an unidentified assailant today attacked police with a hammer outside Notre Dame Cathedral. The French Interior Minister says the attacker cried, "It's for Syria," as he went after officers patrolling a walkway in front of the famous landmark. The U.S. Air Force's top general says he's determined to avoid excessive secrecy during development of the service's new B-21 bomber, citing its predecessor as a cautionary tale. We learn more on that from Bloomberg's Greg Jarrett.
Nancy, the Air Force has kept secret key details about the new bomber even after awarding Northrop Grumman the development contract for what's projected to be an $80 billion project. It has disclosed some details, such as a list of subcontractors and projected development costs. At the request of lawmakers, the Pentagon's Inspector General has opened a review into whether the Air Force has imposed excessive secrecy. Nancy?
Again, Bloomberg's Greg Jarrett. California Governor Jerry Brown is in China working on developing individual deals with the country in light of President Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord. Brown spoke with Bloomberg Television earlier today.
The Trump withdrawal from Paris will reverberate in ways we can't even tell right now. I would say, paradoxically, it's galvanizing the climate movement, the opposite. It's kind of an action-reaction.
Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nancy Lyons.